Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Randall White, and we want to take just a moment off the top here to remind you that Cap Radio continues to follow the wildfires, evacuations, and air quality in the region, and that we will get the latest from Governor Newsom at noon. Cap Radio will be hosting that statewide coverage, and there are constant updates on the capradio.org website. Check out our fire blog there and a map as well. So Republicans have officially kicked off their national convention today, starting with today's roll call. When the states individually sound off, it's alphabetical. So let's hear how California was represented by its Republican Party leaders.
On behalf of House Republican leader Congressman Kevin McCarthy, our national committeewoman, Harmeet Dhillon, our national committeeman, Sean Steele, and over 5 million registered Republicans from Siskiyou County down to San Diego and everywhere in between. I am California Republican Party Chairwoman Jessica Milan Patterson. We, as a state, want to bring forth our delegates, 172, for Donald Trump.
And now the person representing Nevada at the convention today. We did edit down his comments for brevity, taking out his remarks about the delegates staying home for safety reasons.
I'm Chairman Michael J. McDonald from the great state of Nevada, home to Congressman Mark Amede, home to the Las Vegas Knights, home to the Las Vegas Raiders. Nevada's battle-born state, admitted to the Union by our first Republican president, Abraham Lincoln, just 1 week before the election in 1864. From the energy of Las Vegas, across the Great Basin to the majestic Sierra, crowned by the jewel of Lake Tahoe, Nevada is truly a land blessed by God, and we are privileged to call it home. The state of Nevada proudly cast all 25 votes for the re-election of Donald J. Trump as President of the United States.
And this week, Republicans will make the case to reelect President Donald Trump, who's expected to make more than just an appearance each night of the convention, breaking tradition, not something unusual for this president. We just got a sample of that as the president spoke unscripted for a half an hour or so. We didn't actually time it here. Joining us to break down the roll call and kick off the GOP convention is Dr. Melissa Michelson. She's a professor of political science as well as the dean of arts and sciences at Menlo College in the Bay Area. And welcome to you today.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So what should we expect to see at this week's Republican National Convention?
Well, if you had asked me that question an hour ago, I would have had a different answer. But based on this morning, I think we're going to get a lot of unscripted Trump. And I think it's going to break tradition in so many ways because, you know, he enjoys having that live audience and he enjoys giving off script remarks. And so, you know, all of the previews of the convention were about how it was going to be positive and how it was going to be this and that. And then this morning they just did something completely different. And Trump decided, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I want to talk about. And he just did it.
This is the tone I'm going to set on day one. So how do you think the party will handle its reputation around diversity, including, you know, the Latino population?
Well, Trump spoke to that already this morning in his remarks. He was talking about how the economy was good for African Americans. He was actually pretty careful, I thought, to mention Latinos, Asian Americans, African Americans in his remarks. He wants to make sure that he's at least speaking to diversity. But on the other hand, there were no remarks about the shooting yesterday in Wisconsin. There were no remarks about the disparate impacts of the pandemic on communities of color. And most of the delegations who were represented during the roll call, were white men. So there was not a lot of diversity on display, even though it is clearly on Trump's mind.
Vice President Mike Pence preceded the president speaking today on the first day of the convention, and he used the phrase "back the blue." It's part of the law and order theme, meaning they're backing the police officers. And I'm wondering how that meshes with the Black Lives Matter movement currently. A Pew poll from early June, when the demonstrations were really erupting due to the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis, among others, shows a majority of Americans from both parties support or strongly support the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yeah, I think the Black Lives Matter movement really has become bipartisan at this point, and there really has been a shift in the national discussion about police violence against Black and brown bodies. So it's, you know, it's not keeping up with public opinion, but it's probably speaking to the Republican base, right? And the people who are tuning in, especially in the morning of the first day of the convention, that's not the general public. That's diehard Republican Party members. And so for them, maybe they're not so much supporters of the Black Lives Matter movement. Maybe they're law enforcement supporters or members. And so they would rather hear about how blue lives matter than about how Black lives matter.
How important is viewership, or I guess in our case as a public radio station, listenership of the conventions?
It's actually not that important at all. And most normal, quote unquote, normal people don't listen or watch the conventions. What's more important is the media coverage. What does the mainstream media say the next day? What clips are repeated on social media? What pieces are pulled apart and shared with a wider audience? And so it's not so much what you do at the convention, how many people are listening to you live, it's how many people hear about it later. What moments go viral, what themes and video clips are picked up where people's eyeballs are, like on Facebook or on NPR.
So, Melissa, we already had a week of the Democratic convention, and now we're into day one of the Republican one. The Democratic themes, what were those? What was the takeaway for you on those? And what do you see developing in terms of the Republican convention?
The Democratic themes were very much that it was time to vote and save the country from what Donald Trump is doing to it, that there was a threat to democracy. There was a lot of focus on making sure that people had a plan to vote. And there was very much a theme of diversity, not just in the selection of Kamala Harris as the vice presidential nominee, but in the diversity that we saw in the Democratic roll call. But very much that this election is a referendum on Trump, that he has not risen to the moment of the pandemic and that we can't take four more years. On the other hand, the Republican convention, it's hard to tell exactly what the theme is given that Trump went off script this morning, but to be more of a referendum on what Trump was doing before the pandemic hit, to say, you know, this was caused by China, that the pandemic isn't Trump's fault, and that if you think back to February, the economy was great, things were fabulous, and if we just can just get past this pandemic, that Trump is saying, I'll get us back to that.
Melissa Michelson is Dean of Arts and Sciences and Professor of Political Science at Menlo College in the Bay Area. Melissa, thank you so much for joining us today. I should say Professor Michelson.
No
thank
worries.
You. Yes. Okay, you are listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Randall White, and the convention did kick off today in its hybrid format. We're more likely to hear about California than to hear the voices of state politicians. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy of Bakersfield is the elected state official slated to speak. Betsy Mann joins us. She's the chair of the Republican Party of Sacramento County. Great to have you here, Betsy.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time. Also joining us is David Welch. He is an executive board member of the Butte County Democratic Party. Welcome today to you as well.
Glad to be here.
So, Betsy, I want to start with you. The president was just speaking and was once again creating doubt surrounding mail-in voting, saying that, in his words, Democrats are trying to steal the election through this process. There is no evidence to back up those comments, and he calls it the stealing of millions of votes. Do you believe that votes will be stolen in Sacramento County, that Republican-heavy neighborhoods, as the president pointed out, won't get their ballots?
Well, I think his concern is less about counties like Sacramento, where we've done mailed ballots for several years, and our county elections officials have had a chance to come up with a system, including security, and I'm I personally am very confident that in Sacramento that it's going to be handled properly. I think his concern is more with the states or the counties across the nation that have not done all mail ballots, and that there just hasn't been enough time for county election officials to be organized, or for the post office to be able to handle that increased volume without a lot of planning in advance. So I think that's what he's mostly concerned about. But I'm not concerned about Sacramento County. We've done it for 2 years. I work very closely with our registrar of voters and have every confidence that it'll be handled appropriately.
Do you think it's safe for people to vote in person in these states where they haven't been doing primarily mail-in voting?
Well, I think there are precautions that could certainly be taken for in-person voting, just as big box stores are taking and others who are allowed to be open. There are certainly protocols that can be taken to allow people to vote in person. And it really wasn't necessary to call for a mandated all-mail ballot, because people can already request absentee ballots if they're concerned about in-person voting, if they're concerned about their health, and that can be a very genuine concern. But that option was already available to people. So mandating that all ballots be mailed was not necessary.
So one of the concerns the president pointed out is that he says they, and I'm not sure who the they is there, maybe you can help me with that, want to get rid of signature matching on ballots. We should be very clear that in California, there is signature matching and there will be signature matching. I believe he's referencing a federal lawsuit in Pennsylvania saying that votes shouldn't be thrown out if the signatures don't match. But that is specifically to give the voters a chance to resolve the issue before the vote is thrown away, not to just get rid of signature matching altogether. That lawsuit was brought by the League of Women Voters. How do you understand what the president was talking about there today?
Well, I'm not sure, to be honest, what he was referring to. I can only speak to what we do here in Sacramento County, where there is signature matching, and that's very important. And I know that their process includes actually contacting the voter if the signature doesn't match, so that they can have time to prove that they are the correct person. The problem is that since there is no requirement for ID, which I think is very curious, I don't know why we can't have voter ID when people vote or register to vote, even more important, because I think that's where the fraud takes place. If we had ID,
but is there widespread fraud though? Like, what studies do you have that show that there is fraud at a level that would require ID?
Here's the problem is that studies are not taking place. That's the problem. And the fact that that so many counties have not complied with recent litigation that said that they have to clean their rolls, and you end up with areas where there are more registered voters than people who are qualified to vote, then you know that there's going to be a lot of people on the rolls who either have moved or have passed away. And those ballots are still going to go out. And that's where the concern is. If you don't have any kind of ID requirements, people can take those ballots, they can go into a vote center, and they can vote. And that's the way the system works in Sacramento County and other places as well. You can also go in and register someone to vote without ID, and you can then go and pick up their ballot at a vote center, and as long as you match the signatures, you can vote. And I have verified that with our county elections office that is possible.
All right.
So yes, there are all kinds of opportunities for abuse.
David, again, you're with Butte County and
yes.
Not with the county, you're with the Democratic Party in the county. David, what was your takeaway from the president's comments today?
Well, I think my takeaway from the whole convention really is sort of encapsulated in the announcement this morning that the Republican Party would not announce a platform this year other than their support for Donald Trump, and that And then what we see in this extended off-script script kind of talk, and looking ahead at the schedule of speakers, we're seeing that of the main speakers, half the speakers are either the president himself or members of his family. And that kind of adds up to a convention and a party that have become, have sort of abandoned the idea of principles and are fundamentally about Donald Trump. It's a cult of Donald Trump, much like North Korea. It reminds me a lot of North Korea governance, where you have the cult of the leader and the family dynasty. And so I suspect what we're going to hear over the next few days is a combination of a lot of fear-mongering and a lot of worship of Donald Trump, much of it by himself.
I do want to mention that a week ago we did have the chair of the Republican Party on from San Joaquin County, much in the way that we're doing that this now, if you're wondering the guest lineup here. Butte County is a Republican county. Donald Trump
No, actually, it's not. We are,
But it did vote for Donald Trump 48% over Hillary Clinton 44%. So you're seeing a shift in that,
right? But we have a modest we have a modest Democratic edge in registration, and it voted, for example, down ballot gave a majority to a Democratic congressional candidate.
So how do you expect that to play out?
So it's a mixed picture.
Mm-hmm. So you're hoping that it'll, that people will get to the polls and that that'll be reflected in the election coming up.
Yes.
One last question here, and that's going to be for you, Betsy. How do you expect it to play out in November?
I think Donald Trump's going to win, absolutely. You know, he's done nothing but make good on his promises. People knew what his personality was like in 2016. That hasn't changed. We're just all so pleasantly surprised that he is actually following through on what he said he was going to do. The walkaway movement that Brandon Straka started is very powerful. We get Democrats in our headquarters all the time changing their registration.
All right. Betsy Mahan is the chair of the Republican Party of Sacramento County. Thank you so much for joining us. And David Welch, executive board member of the Butte County Democratic Party. Thank you to you as well.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
And that is a very much abbreviated insight for today. Don't forget, we're back in about an hour with the governor of California talking about wildfire responses and also COVID-19. I'm Randall White, and we'll speak with you then.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.